This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Hi, this is Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 23rd of July, 2023. Now over to Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Last week, we did a deep dive into design principles for radio and repeater site power supplies, but focused mainly on battery backup. This week, we will look at how we charge those batteries. You have a repeater site or a remote HF station and you have batteries. How to keep them charged without access to mains power? There are two mainstream methods used, solar and wind powered. I'm not going to go into wind powered simply because I haven't had that much experience with wind power, and I'm hoping someone in the audience might have more knowledge and do an augmentation of this article. Solar power. Did I mention last week about understanding the requirements? Our requirements are relatively simple. Recharge the battery from 0% charge to full charge in 10 days. Maintain the charge of the system on a day-by-day basis. We know the consumption of the site on average because we all listened diligently last week to how we determine the consumption. Our system needs to cater for that consumption, but in addition, if we're going to also recover the system from an event such as a loss of supply for 5 days, then we need to add some capacity of the charging system to recharge the system in 5 to 10 days. This means that the system needs to recharge the existing load plus 10 to 20% more to also start to recharge the battery. If you have the funds, I'd recommend using a 5-day recharge design parameter, as this will also allow the system to cope comfortably with excessive use on a given day. Now let's look at the design inputs from solar panels. There are some important parameters to look at from solar panels. They include nominal maximum power. This is the rated maximum power output from the panel. Operating voltage. This is the voltage expected at a peak of a panel when connected to a load. Short circuit current. This is the current supplied to the load and is also the current you can expect to measure during the peak of the day when measuring current across the panel on its own. If we convert our 34.8 amp hours of consumption at 13.8 volts DC to power, we end up with about 480 watts over a 24-hour period. So, look around for a 500 watt panel and we're good, right? Not quite. For one, we need to add 10 to 20% to recharge the battery bank after an event, so that makes 550 to 600 watts. The next step is to understand what the maximum power rating of a solar panel means. For most of us, purchasing new solar panels for a hobby that takes pride in doing more for less dollars means you're most likely repurposing old panels. Back in the late 90s when I first started designing systems with solar power, an 80 watt panel delivered about 15 volts at 5 amps or so. The cost of a panel was in the order of about $700. Now, of course, with much increased demand and better technology, the cost has come down to around $1 a watt installed. But even cheaper are second-hand panels from refurbishments of existing domestic solar installations, which can be had for as little as $20 a panel. The issue with the domestic solar panels are that they are aimed at being able to produce 240 volts AC after a regulator, not 13.8 volts DC. This means that the panel voltage is now in the order of 40 plus volts DC. This represents a bit of a challenge when it comes to getting our battery voltage down to 13.8 volts DC. The latest variation of solar regulators are called MPPT chargers. These take strings of panels, typically three, to bring the overall panel voltage to around 150 volts, then converts the charging voltage to something suitable for either a 12, 24 or 48 volt DC bank. The advantage of these kind of regulators is that because the panel input voltage is in the order of 150 volts, they can easily regulate down to say 58 volts DC for more hours in a day than an older linear regulator. Now, back to the panels. The rating of a panel is related to the power it can deliver per hour. A 300-watt panel can deliver nominally 300 watts per hour. This doesn't mean it will deliver 300 watts per hour while the sun is in the air. Typically around Perth, a panel will deliver the equivalent of around 5 times the rated power per day, as long as the panel is facing north and angled around 35 degrees from horizontal. This means that if you string 3 panels in series, it will deliver 300 watts at around 45 volts, or roughly 6.5 amp hours, or 33 amp hours per day at 48 volts DC. Convert this down to 12 volts DC and you'll have 133 amp hours per day, which will recharge your battery bank in 2 to 3 days, so it would be a very robust design. A few other tips for building a solar power supply for a repeater or HF remote site. Use the same panel types for your array. This is why there are often plenty of panels on the second-hand market. An upgrade on a domestic system usually ends up with a total replacement of panels, as solar panels only seem to be in production for a couple of years for each model. For maximum efficiency from the panels, face them north and at an angle from horizontal, roughly equivalent to your latitude. Choose a solar regulator that is already supplying DC voltage, not AC, and look for brands from comms wholesalers. Some good brands include Morningstar, Victron and Plasmatronics, and are all reputable RF quiet brands of regulators. Well, thanks for listening. This has been VK6SJ Steve with another episode of Did You Know?
Greetings all amateur radio operators. Please be aware that the Northern Corridor Radio Group will be holding its annual Hamfest on Sunday morning, the 20th of August 2022 at the Cyril Jackson Community Hall in Bassendean. Please make note of the date change, with the Hamfest being held 1 week earlier than usual. The Hamfest will start at 9 a.m. and finish at around lunchtime. As always, suppliers can set up from 7:30 a.m. and the NCRG will be staging a raffle with tickets available on the day and online before the event. There are some fantastic prizes on offer this year. First prize is a Yaesu FT710 HF/50MHz radio valued at $1,695. Second prize is an ICOM ID52A handheld with D-Star 2 and 70 SEMs valued at $849. Third prize is an MFJ Enterprises 991B HF antenna tuner that's valued at $400. And fourth prize is a Raspberry Pi Model 4B with 8 gigabytes of RAM. This is a do-it-yourself kit with a few bits and pieces in. That's valued at $322. Tickets, they're on sale from the 20th of June, so that starts in a few days. And it's available to people in New South Wales, Northern Territory, Queensland, South Australia, Tasmania, Victoria, and of course, Western Australia. $5 per ticket is the charge, as always, and the raffle will be drawn on the day at the finish of the Hamfest at 12 o'clock. So please come along, catch up with your friends, check out the new and second-hand wares that will be on sale, and of course, dine out on some of the yummy snacks that will be available from the canteen. If you want to book a table to sell or exhibit at the Hamfest, please be aware that the tables will run out fast. There's no charge for the table, just an entrance fee on the day of $5 per person, NCRG members included. Additional details will be posted on the NCRG website, so please look for those. If you'd like to book a table or ask a question about the Hamfest, please contact myself, Brad Peters, VK6 Bravo Alpha Papa on 0427 401 513. Looking forward to seeing you all there.
Hi, this is Clinton VK6FCIC back with you. In that last segment from the NCRG, I noticed that they mentioned that the Hamfest was on the 20th of August 2022. It should actually be the 20th of August 2023. Anyway, now over to VK4SN with information on last week's Trans-Tasman contest.
Since 1931, News West has provided amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6ARN.
Hi, this is Alan, VK4 Sierra November, Trans-Tasman contest manager. Last Saturday night saw many stations taking advantage of the excellent conditions on the low bands. Even QRP stations were loud, and VK6 and 8 were able to work ZL with ease. I'm extending log submission time by an extra day to include today, Sunday. So get submitting by 1400 Zulu today. That's midnight Eastern Australian Standard Time. If you wish to make a comment, then add them to the soapbox line in the Cabrillo header. Some have asked about serial numbering starting at 1 for each band. This is perfectly okay. Please submit the log as is. For the future, my website now contains downloads for both single operator stations and multi-operator stations, where the numbering is different. Thank you. This is Alan, VK4, Sierra November.
During the week, the ACMA announced that it has amended the LCD to open up the entire amateur portion of the 6-metre band to standard licensees. This welcome move was a very long time coming, and hopefully we'll see more use made of this band. Some may disagree with me, however. To my mind, it was a silly division to create in the first place, especially since it was done, I believe, to prevent interference to analogue channel zero way back some time ago. Perhaps I'm oversimplifying how the situation was, but from what I can gather, novice license holders were limited to the farthest end of our 6-metre band, lest they created interference to channel zero, because their 30 watts might interfere with TV transmissions and the full call's 400 watts wouldn't. This arrangement found its way to standard licensees in 2004, when our amateur radio licenses were sorted out into three levels. Much to the chagrin of some, proposals were made to the ACMA to sort out 6 metres from the time we changed from analogue to digital TV, around 10 years ago. Of course, some people in our amateur radio world signalled the end of the amateur radio universe as we know it. Because of that and other suggested changes to our hobby, we were going to spin out of control into a pit of despair and decay. Amateur radio has undergone significant changes throughout its history. And speaking of history, I've researched a lot of Australian amateur radio history over the years in order to make history items for News West. Predictions of the end of the amateur radio universe as we know it have popped up fairly often over the years. They are dusted off and trotted out during times of impending change. It seems that amateur radio enthusiasts, long known for their position at the bleeding edge of technology, aren't that keen about change. Why? Why do people feel threatened by change? Why is there loud disapproval? Now, I don't hold any exclusive claim to soundness of mind, but what keeps me sane, or at least what I call sane, is that very few things around us are absolute. It helps my sanity to know that those things that are can be questioned, and they should be. Back to amateur radio, more than a century down the track, and the hobby is still with us. People are still joining the hobby. They see something in the hobby that they like, and they want to be part of it. Perhaps they don't look at some of the amateur radio Facebook groups that disgrace the hobby with their invective. Perhaps they haven't met the loud grumble bums who still haven't got over changes that were made 20 years ago. Please, folks, don't ever lose sight of the fact that amateur radio is a hobby, not a professional pursuit. I realise and appreciate that amateur radio is full of people on a busman's holiday, and it's possible that they have difficulty separating their professional knowledge from what's required for amateur radio. In our discussions about where the lines in the sand are drawn in terms of privilege for our three amateur radio license levels, can we please think about what's going to make our hobby more relevant to today's people and take it forward to tomorrow's? And finally, single sideband was going to be the end of the amateur radio universe as we know it. I'm Bob, VK6POP. The Radio Amateur Society of Australia's website has some free resources that can assist you to get things working right. To start with, the website is vkradioamateurs.org. If you're a newcomer to the hobby, select the Newcomers tab and explore the options there. The Amateur Radio Welcome Pack is provided free to clubs who conduct courses. These packs comprise a portfolio folder which includes a number of useful documents and reference sheets. Give your students some practical and relevant material to take away at the end of the course. And again, that's free. Clubs just need to ask for it. The Amateur Radio Guidebook contains a wealth of information online that newcomers will find useful for setting up their station. VK Regs is a website that provides a guide to the regulations governing the hobby of amateur radio in Australia. It is a joint publication of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia and the Radio and Electronics School. Amateur Radio Tech Support is a knowledge-based site where you can search for information or ask a question. Further along the main menu is an item that invites you to fight QRM. This one takes you to the QRM Guru website, which again is a knowledge-based site where you can ask a question or look at what other people have asked and read up on how their QRM problems were solved. There's also a link to the QTC online magazine, which is published quarterly by the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. All of these resources are free for you to use. You don't have to be a member of anything to utilise those resources. The website again is vkradioamateurs.org.
Good morning, yes, it's me again with this week's helpline for the 23rd of July 2023. Today I have for you the following for sale. I've got an ICOM IC718 HF transceiver, 10 metres through 160 metres, 100 watts out, comes with hand microphone, power lead, original handbook, very good condition, no scratches or marks, $450 only. Contact Greg, VK6 Echo Delta, his phone number 0417 900 874. That's 0417 900 874. That's Greg, VK6 Echo Delta. And the next item comes from Clive. He has a couple of speaker drivers here, nominal 8 ohms and 150 watts RMS, up to 300 watts on program, and very sensitive. And they are 12 inch speakers by E-Tone, Echo Tango Oscar November Echo Model 241, 12 inch or 300 millimeter loudspeakers available, $35 each. Get in there and give Clive a ring. VK6X Charlie Sierra Whiskey is his call sign. And his phone number, I'll just get it for you. Hang on, don't go away. His email address is Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra at hotmail.com. It's Clive, VK6CSW. His email, Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra at hotmail.com. And I don't know about any other items. The VK6 Lima Golf Bravo did have a high gain TH3 Junior, $750. Telephone 9592-7915. That's 08 prefix, 9592-7915. And that's all I got for this week. Wish you all well. Hope you're having a warmer day today than yesterday. And cheers for now. 73 from Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor. My email address, by the way, is roy.watkins@bigpond.com.
Hi, this is VK6FCRC back with you. And from the team at News West, I'd like to thank the broadcasters, contributors, plus the readers and listeners of News West each week. In the words of another famous ham, walk softly. Now, please stand by for callbacks on your local repeater after the idents, or submit your callbacks via the vk6.net website.